If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles 25. Here we had last week where the last king, Joash, has died. Now his son, Amaziah, comes to the throne. Chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. So we're talking about the kings of the south, not the kings of the north. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. This is the problem, you see. That even though he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, the problem with him, it was an incomplete commitment to the Lord, like most people today. Not a full commitment, but a half-hearted commitment to God. And that's where the downfall comes, sooner or later. You'll see here in the story. That even though it says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart, which means he wasn't fully, completely seeking first the kingdom of God. And it's really simple to compromise your position in Christ at the job, at the home, or wherever we may be, with friends, loved ones. And the enemy surely knows how to get to each one of us individually, because the enemy hates us when we're really fully committed. He hates that. So he wants to bring us down. He's come to steal and he's come to kill. The Bible says that. And so here is this King Amaziah with a half-hearted commitment. Verse 3. And then it happened that as soon as the kingdom was established for him, that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. So he began to do righteously and get rid of all the traitors in the kingdom. However, he did not execute their children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded Moses, saying, "The father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin." Deuteronomy 24, 14 or 16 says that. Because the parents had sinned, the law said that the children were not guilty like the parents. Why? Because every person is held accountable to their own sin. You see, even way back in the law. So it's really important, because there are so many times where today, you watch a lot of these dumb talk shows, and they're blaming the parents, or they're blaming the grandmother or the grandfather, or they're blaming the girlfriend or the boyfriend, instead of blaming themselves and taking responsibility for what I have done. People don't want to do that. They want a scapegoat in their presence. And yet God's word says what? Every person is accountable for his own sin. Verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains by thousands and captains of hundreds according to their father's houses throughout all of Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and from them to be 300,000 choice men able to go to war, who could handle a spear and a shield. Notice that a great army that he has. So the army is becoming strong. The actual nation is becoming strong. And if you go back to the book of the law in the time when Moses was writing the book of Deuteronomy, the law exempt those that were married. If you just got married and you were to go to war, the law gave you a whole year to be with your wife, to enjoy your wife, just in case you got killed. One whole year. And then you had to go to battle. But it would exempt you for 1 year. God had it all put together the way he wanted things to run. Then in verse 6, he says, he also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel, that is from the northern kingdom, for 100 talents of silver. So here, notice what he's doing. He's going to the northern kingdom of Israel and he's hiring people to fight for him. But a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the children of Ephraim. Notice the warning. Instead of a Messiah praying and asking God what he should do, he put it upon himself to do what he wanted to do. How many times this becomes our own problem in things that we do? And what God is saying, he's saying, look, I'm not blessing these people. And now that these people are with you, how can I bless? It's an impossibility. Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel and Ephraim, they were idolaters. They were worshiping other gods. And here God sends a prophet, even as God sometimes sends a brother or a sister. Or as we're reading the Word of God, or we're listening to the radio or watching a TV program where God will speak to us and warn us. Because we really haven't gone to the Lord in making our decision in whatever we're going to do. We should always bring everything in prayer to God. That's why we're praying on Friday nights. Praying about the church, praying about our community, praying about missions, praying for our troops, praying for the police departments, fire departments. Praying for everything that is happening. Why? We want God to speak to us. We want to hear. We want direction from the Lord. Verse 8. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in the battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help you or to overthrow you. Whoa. Interesting. Look what he said. That he's the one in charge to help or to overthrow. He's already told the prophet, hey, look, you go, but I'm not with you. Because you chose Israel and Ephraim, and I'm not with them. Verse 9. And then Amaziah said to the men of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? You notice what he's doing now? After God rebukes him, what does he do? He seeks the Lord. He's talking to God. Okay, well, God, what do I do? I already paid for all these people to come and fight. I'm paying each one of them. What do I do? And the men of God answered, he said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. You see, what is God doing through the prophet? Speaking to the king. He's giving him direction. Giving him direction. And this is so true. Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? He'll give you much more than all these troops. Should have called upon God. We can't trust, you know, that the government is going to defend us or anybody else. The Lord is our defense. As a child of God, my trust has to be in God first in every area of my life. Because otherwise, how can we do it then? Look what he says, verse 10. And so Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Hey, go home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home with great anger. Yeah, imagine, you hire these people to go fight with you, and then you change your mind, and you say, go home. What do you think that's going to create? Anger, and they're going to come after you. Watch what happens. And then Amaziah strengthened himself And leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt. That's over by the Dead Sea on the other side of Jericho. And killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. And also the children of Judah, took captive 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, so that they all were dashed in pieces. Notice what they do in war. Here in the story, he tells us they took them to the top of a hill, and they took their enemy, and they pushed them off, and killed them. But as for the soldiers of the army, which Amaziah had discharged, so that they would not go with him to battle, they raided the cities of Judah from Samaria and Beth-Horon and killed 3,000 in them and took much spoil. Notice that. These were mercenaries. They came back. They were mad. And now it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir. Now here it is again. Here is a man of God that did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not really completely. What does he do? He starts bringing the other gods with him. He has no business doing that. We have no business dealing with Islam or Buddhism or New Age or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnessism or whatever isms. None of them. Because we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Look what he says here. This is really important what happens here. Verse 14 again. Now it happened, it was so, that after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Can you imagine? Smart people do dumb things. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, here he is the king. He's been worshiping Jehovah God. I mean, it's like any one of us here, and I've seen it happen. How many times people that have come to the Lord, they were Catholics, and they don't want to be Catholics anymore, or Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they'll go back to that old religion instead of staying to the truth of God. Watch what happens. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah. And he sent him a prophet again who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people when these gods are so empty? Why are you doing that? Now, the reason God is angry, listen, is because these gods that they worship, the Ammonites, Moabites, and the Canaanites, and all these gods, they were gods of pleasure, gods of fertility, gods of sex. You see? These were gods that they worship, even the gods where they kill their own little babies to Molech. And so God was angry. What are you doing? Look what he says. Why have you sought the gods of the people? Which, he says again, which could not rescue their own people from your hand. I mean, if they could not help their own people, how are they going to help you? I mean, wake up. What are you doing? I feel so sorry for the Buddhists. I feel so sorry, you know, when they go and burn incense and they bring the incense up and they put the, you know, the fruit and they're praying to their ancestors, you know, and all this stuff. And the Catholics praying the rosary and praying to Mary and praying to the saints. And I mean, it's, you know what? It's all vanity. It's emptiness. There's only one living God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it upsets me because, I mean, people do it willfully, even after they've heard the truth of God. I think of all the people that visit us here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and they'll come and they hear the word of God, maybe they're, you know, whatever denomination or whatever religion. And they'll like the setting, they'll like the word of God, but because of tradition. You see, that's the problem. I can't do it. Hey, tradition will take you to hell. What does the Bible say? You want to make sure it is the word of God, not men's word. Your eternity depends fully on that. And that's why on these lessons, they're so important to each one of us individually, because we can learn from their mistakes so that we don't make the same mistakes. Watch again, verse 15. And therefore the anger of the Lord was aroused on Messiah. Why have you sought the gods of the people? And why could you not rescue their own people from their own hands? They couldn't even rescue them. So it was that as he talked with him, that the king said to him, to the prophet, have we made you the king's counselor? Hey, why don't you mind your own business? Here's the king rebuking the prophet, and the prophet is sent by the Lord. You see? People are so prideful. He says, stop. Why should we be killed? And then the prophet stopped and said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my advice. Notice that he told him to shut up, and the prophet said, fine, you're going to die. You're going to die. You just made your own coffin, and you just made your own, what, sepulcher. You're going to be dead because you didn't listen to the Lord. You didn't listen. How we need to listen to the Lord. Because if we don't listen, then judgment comes. Verse 17. And now Amaziah, king of Judah, asked advice and sent Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. And here now Amaziah is asking advice to send Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the king of Israel, and say, hey, why don't you come up here and let's have a scrimmage together. Let's see who wins. And Joash, king of Israel, sent Amaziah, king of Judah, and said, listen, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my sons as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. He's talking in a parable form. And what he's doing is he's warning, he's saying, hey, stay home. Stay home before you get hurt. Verse 19. Indeed, you say that you have defeated the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Stay at home now. Why should you meddle with trouble that you should fall, you, Judah, and everyone with you? Hey, this is a good scripture. Why? Because how many people meddle to their own hurt? Think about that. You go to places you shouldn't be going to, doing things you should never do. You're tempting the Lord. We have to be careful. Our great dangers follow after victories. You know, what happens here is that after we've had a great victory with God, what happens all of a sudden, man, after a big victory has happened, the dangers come where we begin to trust in ourselves. Hey, you know what? I've won a lot of battles. I can take another battle. And we forget that it was the Lord. He was proud. He was lifted up in pride, and God says, this time you're going down. I'm not going to help you. Think how many times God has warned us, like the prophet warned him. Don't meddle. If you meddle, you are going to get hurt. And yet, people love to meddle with sin. They love meddling with sin. And only to their own hurt. Only to their own hurt. This is a great question here. To those who like to meddle with sin, why would you want to meddle to your own hurt? It's going to hurt you. You're going to reap what you sow. Verse 20. But Amaziah would not listen. You see? That's the problem. And it came to pass. He says, for it came from God that he might give them into the hand of their enemies because they sought the gods of Edom. Now listen carefully. God was trying to protect him so that he would not be killed, and yet God already had set it up because he knew his heart, and God already had a trap for him to be killed. That's what God does. You don't want to listen? Okay, go ahead. Finish it off. But only to your own destruction if you don't listen. Verse 21.
And so Joash, king of Israel, went out, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel. Every man fled to his tent. And then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah. And then the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahad, at Beth Shemesh, he brought him to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits or 600 feet. Notice that. So when you don't listen to the Lord, what is the first thing that happens as God begins to judge you? Number one, we see that he had no defense for himself. No defense. And what happened? The enemy took hostages. People that were following the king that already had been given counsel by God. Listen, it's not only you, it's your wife and your children, your employees, your employers, whoever it may be. People always get hurt because of you and me when we don't listen. We reap what we sow, you see? It's not just you. When somebody goes out and kills themselves, they think, oh, you know what? I'll just commit suicide and it's over. Listen, you're dead, you're gone, but not the pain and the guilt of the parents. And the last word out of your mouth or the last thing you did, maybe in anger, you just got to fight with your mom and dad, and the guy went out and killed himself. Imagine, he's gone, but not the guilt on the parents. You reap to other people's sins. It's not just you. It's everyone that loves you. Everyone that knows you gets hurt. Secondly, verse 24. And then he took all the gold and the silver. So whenever we don't listen to God and as God judges, the first thing the enemy does what? He takes our defenses. He makes us hostages. And thirdly, he takes all of your riches. Everything you have. It's gone. No more. Notice, he took all the gold, the silver, the articles, and they were found in the house of God with all the Edom, the treasures of the king's house, and the hostages returned to Samaria. Notice that. Satan does not fight fair. He wants to hold you captive and blind, and eventually he wants to kill you. That is his ultimate goal. That's what he's done all his life. And we should learn from that. Verse 25. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. And now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, from the first to last, indeed they are not written in the book of the kings of Judah and in Israel. And after the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord. Notice, he started right, but he did not finish well. Here's his testimony. And after the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish, and there they killed him. Notice that. There they killed him, just as God said it would happen. A man who did not listen to God, now he is killed by Satan because he wouldn't listen. Then they brought him on horses and buried him in his father in the city of Judah. Notice that. And they didn't bury him in the king's court, but they buried him because he dishonored the Lord. So they buried him, notice, outside of the court of the kings. Chapter 26, verse 1. And now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. And now we come to the reign of Uzziah, and where you get the fullness of the king Uzziah, it's in the book of Isaiah, especially in chapter 6. We'll get that in a moment. Because King Uzziah was a very popular king. He reigned for 52 years. And it was like everybody was looking at Uzziah as this great leader, and almost to the point of charisma and of worship. Even the prophet Isaiah was stunned by Uzziah. He had his eyes on him. And in the chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says when King Uzziah died, it's the time when Isaiah took his eyes off of Uzziah, that he could get his eyes on the Lord. And sometimes, in order for God to get us to look to Him, He has to take the idols away from our lives. And that could be your wife, that could be your children, that could be your grandchildren, that could be anything in life. Be careful of idols in your life. God removes them. If they're going to hinder your walk, if they're going to hinder you with God, God will remove them. He did with Uzziah. You'll see that when you read the book of Isaiah. Look what he says here. Verse 2. And he built Elath. And Elath is down by the Red Sea. It's been a beautiful place as you go south. We went snorkeling there many years ago. Beautiful, beautiful place there in Israel. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. And Uzziah was only 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehochaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Underline that verse for each one of us here. How does God prosper me? As long as I follow the Lord. That's it. No more, no less. God has to be first. Now, get this here. That as he sought the God in the days of Zechariah, this is not the prophet Zechariah. He's unknown. Zechariah, the prophet, we don't know much about this Zechariah. This is not the one that wrote the book of Zechariah. Total different guy, okay? So we don't get confused here. But again, look what he says. He says, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Notice that. And now he went out and he made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Janath, the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod among the Philistines. Gath and Ashdod are Philistine cities. There's 5 Philistine cities. These are 2 of them. And then God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbel and against the Munites. And if you remember in the book of Judges that the Philistines worship the deity of half human and half god or half fish god. He was human and fish. And so here's the Philistines again. And also the Ammonites brought gifts to Uzziah. His fame began to spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. For he became exceedingly strong. What is God doing? God's promoting him. Why? Because his eyes are on the Lord. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. And he fortified them. Now when he says about building towers, he's not building idol towers. He's building watchtowers to watch over for the enemy's approach. And then he said in verse 10, and also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock or cattle, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. God was blessing him with cattle, with vineyards, with everything that he touched. God blessed him. Verse 11, and moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number of the roll as prepared by Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the total number of the chief officers, this is only the captains in the army, the mighty men of valor were 2,600 captains in his army. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And then Uzziah prepared for them. Have you noticed what I'm reading and expounding? How the United States of America, if we have a godly president, they will have a godly army, it will have a godly nation. Same thing, right here. Notice that. Moving forward, verse 14. And then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields and spears and helmets and body armor, bows and slings and cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men. Notice God begins to raise up men that are inventors of war. And they begin to make these things for war so they can defend themselves better against their enemy. And he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was very marvelous help till he became strong. But when he became strong, his heart was lifted up. Isn't that sad? That happens so many times. People get proud. They forget where they came from. Who did it? The Lord is the one that puts up and the one that puts down. You see? It's not us. He said, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Hey, what was his sin? It was a great sin. You know what he did? He was the king. And according to the law of Moses, what did God say? The only person that can go into the court of the temple and sacrifice is the priest. What do you mean? Well, how many people overstep their bounds into something God hasn't called you to be? Think about that. The gifts and the talents God gives you, are you at peace with God, what he's given to you, or are you covering something else that somebody else has? Or are you overstepping your bounds into where God hasn't called you to serve or do? He did it. You know what happened to him? He becomes a leopard. Watch what happens. God judges him. And let me say one more point here, that the reason he became proudful is because it's a danger that when you become successful and you begin to prosper, you don't need God anymore because you got Visa and bank card and all these things. You see? That's why you don't have to trust in God. All I got to do is just put my card in and charge it. You see? We need to be careful. Watch this. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, with him 80 other priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood the king Uzziah and said, "Get out! What are you doing in here?" Notice that. It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord for Eunice, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord your God. Now, I believe that if Uzziah at that particular moment would have repented, no leprosy would have come to him. But he didn't. He didn't. Verse 19, and then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer on his hand to burn incense, and the censers were like with a chain, and they would move the censer this way so the smoke could come out. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Can you imagine? You're inside of the house of the Lord, and leprosy is one of the worst diseases, and leprosy in the scripture is a type of sin. What do? They look at his forehead, and immediately they grab the king and they throw him out of the temple. It's unclean. Watch this. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. And there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get up because the Lord had struck him. He realized, oh my goodness, what is going on here? I'm a leper. And if you know anything about leprosy or Hansen's disease today, in Hawaii, they had a lepers come in here years ago on Molokai. And one of the priests, I forget his name right now, but this priest had given his life to the leopards and got leprosy and died as a leopard. But they say that in India and different places where there are leopards, that when you have leprosy, you know, there's rats that come at night and they eat your feet and you don't even know they're munching on your feet. Leprosy. The white skin. Notice what he says. They threw him out completely. Verse 21, and then King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. And in the New Testament, remember the stories of Jesus when he met the lepers and they made them clean and they gave their sacrifice? But against the Lord, you were not supposed to touch a leper. Why? When a leper was walking down the street in Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, and you were walking through a crowd, you would have to call out, "Leper, coming through," so they could move out of the way. Why? Because if your garment and my garment rubbed together, I, the innocent bystander, got rubbed by a leper, I would become unclean for that day, and I would have to go to the temple and make sure that I put a sacrifice for my uncleanness, and I would be that whole day unclean. Like sin. That's why we repent every day, and we confess our sins to God. And his precious blood washes us and cleanses us every day of our lives. Leprosy is like a sin that eats slowly but surely, and eventually it will kill you. It will kill you completely. And yet there are so many lepers today that don't want help, when all you have to do is just ask and Jesus can help you. And he can touch you otherwise. Because we not only are in the house of the Lord, and because we are believers and we have the Holy Spirit of God, those that do not want to participate with God or fall into sin, what happens? The moment you fall into sin, you become isolated in the house just like a leper, because you can't be in full fellowship with God until you repent. You see? We're isolated, backslidden, until you make things right with God. In the Old Testament, they would isolate you away from the city in the leper camp. You couldn't be around people. And it is the same way today with people in sin. You see, symbolically speaking here. Verse 21. And then King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. And now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. And so Uzziah, notice, rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his father in the field of burial which belongs to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll conclude with this. Isaiah chapter 6. Check this out. Look what Isaiah says. He says, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. This is the time now where Isaiah is being called to be the prophet of God, and God is going to send him to do the work of the ministry. But listen, he cannot go until he gets his eyes off Uzziah and puts his eyes on the Lord and examines his life and consecrates his life to God. Watch this. This is so cool. Verse 2. Above it stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. With two they cover their faces, with two they cover their feet, with two they flew. And one cried to another, said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with the smoke. And so Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." You see, when you stand in the presence of God, you're going to be totally humble. In the presence of God, who am I? I am a man of unclean lips, and I'm standing in the presence of a holy God. How we need to learn from Isaiah. That if you really want to be used of God, then you need to be holy, humble in the presence of God and obedient to God. Watch this. He says again, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts," not Uzziah, who? God. "Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having on his hand a live coal which he had taken with the wings of the altar. And he touched my mouth on it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?'" Speaking of the Trinity of God, who's going to go for me and deliver my message? Watch this. This is so neat. "And then Isaiah said, 'Here am I, Lord, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell these people.'" You want to go? Go. "But this will be your message. It will be a message of judgment to my people." Watch this. He said, "Go and tell these people, 'Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but you don't perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see in their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed.' And then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And he answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitants, the house are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tent will be in it, and will return, notice, and be for consuming, and a terebinth tree as an oak, which a stump remains, which is cut down, so the holy seed shall be in its stump." What is he saying? Isaiah, I'm going to use you. I'm going to bring judgment, but I have a remnant that are holy and humble and obedient to me. God always has his remnant. When Elijah was being chased by Ahab and Jezebel, remember, he ran 200 miles from all the way on top of Israel all the way to the desert. And when he got there, he said, "This is it, Lord. I'm the only one left. Kill me." And the Lord came to him and said, "Hey, Elijah, do you know that I have 7,000 people that have not bowed their knees to Baal, but they worship me? And I believe that that is the way of the cross today in the church, that you have those that are faithful. The 7,000 and probably more now today. Because we're living in critical times. Times where we need to get our eyes off Uzziah and get our eyes on the Lord. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much for thy word, for it is a lamp unto our feet. And Lord God, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit for your people, which are called by thy name. Lord, that you minister to them, that you would touch them, that you would use them, Lord God. And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would have your way in our lives tonight, Jesus. Anoint us, Father. Use us, God. And Father, if there be any person here tonight or listening or watching through the internet too, Lord, that you would bring us like Isaiah to our knees, Father, and that we would get rid of all the filth, all the garbage, all the sin, Lord God. And Lord, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, use me. Send me. Lord, I want to go. Father, send us. Use us. Mold us and shape us, Lord God, into your image, O God. Father, we love you so much and we praise you and worship you. And I wonder, as every eye is closed, every head is bowed, if there's any one person here, male or female, young or old, tonight, they would like to give their heart to Jesus Christ. If you want to do that, you want to be saved, you want to repent of your sins, you want to be cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb and have your name written in the book of life and receive eternal life tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand by faith and come up here in front of the stage here by the staircase here, and I'm going to pray for you. Anybody here real quickly, just get up and come right now. Father, we are thankful for your love and grace and mercies that you bestow upon us and for these people coming up, Jesus. Those of you that have come up, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts. And those watching or listening through the internet, the same thing, you can pray with us this evening. So why don't you repeat after me this prayer? Okay, pray with me. Anybody else come? Okay. Neat. Anybody else? Okay, those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord. Anybody else? Come. Oh. Neat how God just works in people's hearts. Anybody else? I mean, we don't want anybody to leave here without coming to the front here and receiving Christ. That's why we come to the house of the Lord, to learn, to study, but also to be born again of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Okay, now we're going to pray together, okay? Pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.